Well, good evening, and it's Donal Berry here with you on Terrace Talk up until 8 p.m. this evening. And my God, where has the weather gone? Last couple of nights we were heading back to Benna, and it's like a flood of water coming down the main street here in Tralee, and I'm sure there's a flood of water all over the kingdom. So stay with us. Hopefully you turn on the radio a little bit louder and we won't have to listen to the rain. Certainly, I suppose most people enjoyed that fine spell of weather over last week and the glorious sunshine and the great heat, and of course a lot of games got played as well, and we'll be talking about those in a couple of moments. So if you are at home, I suppose, or travelling in the car, stay safe. I suppose don't take the walking is over for the night, I'd imagine, and stay with us for the next 2 hours, and as I said, keep that radio on. What's on the menu tonight? Well, look, we're going to start with a roundup of the Kerry Petroleum Football Championships as Dermot Kearney joins us. We chat to Paddy Clifford and Eric McGlynn of Fuss about their way back, heading back to the club after their senior season. And Darcy O'Connell, Renard GAA chairman, he's going to be on the line to talk, I suppose, about a very special evening last Saturday when they unveiled their new pitch. I won't say new ground because they haven't moved, but the field is certainly looking in great shape, and all that between now and 6:30. Later then we will bring you I suppose a little bit of a special. Rose of Tralee's on next week, and the Tralee Town Board Rose Cup is on, and you know it hasn't been on in a while, of course, with COVID and the whole lot. So we'll talk to John Slattery about that, and we'll also talk to another John Fleming of the Flesk Valley Rowing Club. They hosted yesterday's Kerry County Coastal Rowing Finals in Killarney, and of course I trip up on that because they're coastal rowing as opposed to the other rowing, so there's two groups there. But anyway, here's one that really stands out for me. Who remembers Sabutio? I'm sure Santa dropped a box under many a Kerry Christmas tree over the years. Well, tonight, just after 6:40, I talked to a few people who were reviving the popular game from the 80s, and more popular games being revived after 7. We talk with cricket, Kerry County Cricket, of course. They're based out there on the way to Fianna, and we meet some members of the first ever Kerry women's cricket team. That's right, the first ever. It's absolutely very exciting to have them in. And then from 7:30 onwards, fingers crossed, we were hoping to talk to a man, but we'll see what we'll do with that. He's been called out to work, and of course work comes up at all the times. So if you have a comment, get it in, a review or a question for any of our guests this evening, you can get us on those numbers. And of course everybody out there knows those numbers at this stage. It's 0667123666, or you can text us on 083 300 3300. And of course we really do appreciate your comments and try to get as many of them as we can on every evening. And I suppose the first comment up was a comment that came in, believe it or not, Wednesday morning. Donald, can you let us know who won the winner house with Kerry G? I bought a ticket but can't find any information as to who the winner was. Maybe it was me, John Infermoy. Well, John, I did a bit of digging and I'm afraid it is not going to you, John Infermoy. The winner will be moving to Killarney is Anne-Marie McGillicuddy. She was drawn out on Tuesday night. Dara O'Shea, of course, done all the honours, and it was on the Rose Hotel. And well done to Anne-Marie. No idea who she is, but she bought the winning ticket and she is now the proud owner of a house in Killarney, and congratulations to her. So that is John sorted, and who says we don't sort out our listeners. Now there's a lot of sorting out, Dermot Kearney, over the weekend in the Kerry Football Club Championship, of course sponsored by Kerry Petroleum. We'll go through them in their groups, I suppose. We have senior, we have intermediate, and we go all the way down. The big senior game of the week that certainly got most of the headlines was that big town derby, Kearney-Rahillies and Austin Stacks. And I was at it. I won't say it was a thriller, but it was a real good game to be at. And Austin Stacks probably deservedly winners, even though they only had a point at the end.
Yeah, Donal, I suppose, look, Austin Stacks, I suppose, it's the rivalry, as you said. There's a lot of talk when Austin Stacks and Cairns O'Rahillies go at it, especially in Connolly Park. And you know, look, it was a late win, and look, it is the game. You know, it was level at the break. Garrod Fitzgerald had goaled after 4 minutes, and Rahillies worked hard to come back into the tie, and it was level at the interval. It was a fairly tight game into the second half, and then 5 minutes from time, Gavin O'Brien had made it 113-112 in Rahillies' favour. They were a point ahead. You thought, you know, could Rahillies have snaked it just at the end? But then, you know, Stacks came back, David Maddox and Keane Purcell managing to ensure the win late on with 2 late points. And now in that group as well, I suppose Austin Stacks and Cairns O'Rahillies both have a point each, or both of a win each, should I say. So that'll leave, I suppose, second place if Temple Node don't get a win this weekend. And in terms of the fixtures, then Dr. Crokes will end up taking on Austin Stacks this Saturday, or this Sunday, should I say, at 2:30 in Dr. Crokes. Kearns O'Rahilly's have a trip then are at home in Stranraer, should I say, to Templenoe. I suppose in that group as well, you know, Templenoe getting the win over Dr. Crokes. I'm not sure what's going on with Dr. Crokes this year as well. They haven't seemed to have reignited their spark. Again, it was another fairly tight game in Templenoe that evening. They, you know, Templenoe are unbeaten in the championship so far anyway. Another big scalp taking on a town team such as Dr. Crokes. You know, it looked to have been in their favour for the majority of it. They were leading by a point at half time. Keane McMahon scored a goal in the 36th minute that saw Crokes lead 5-7 points. You know, they had the advantage, but back came Templenoe until Aidan Crowley pointed a free in injury time. And I suppose I wouldn't say it has sealed that Dr. Crokes will be in the relegation playoff this year.
I'd say they won't be too worried. They were there last year. You know, they escaped out of it. I mean, Crokes to me are a county championship team as such in the last number of years. Great to see Keane McMahon scoring a goal as well. A fantastic young talent coming through. And of course, Templenoe are fantastic. The other group, of course, a draw kind of complicates everything. In groups. Spa were nearly one hand in a semi-final spot. Kinmare were distanced to be inside in the relegation playoff, and a late draw, and Kinmare are still hanging on.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that late draw by Kinmare. As it stands, Spa, Dingle and Nigale all have a win in the group, with Kinmare the only team to not have a win. You know, there's going to be major, I suppose, permutations this weekend. You know, Nigale take on Spa at home, Kinmare at home to Dingle. You know, if at the way that I see it is, you know, Dingle could get a win, Nigale could get a win. It's very entertaining to see what would happen. But, you know, you talk about the Dingle and Nigale game. I suppose Nigale making the cut up to senior this year have definitely showed their class. They could have, you know, gotten away with it in Dingle at the weekend, but unfortunately for them, Barry O'Sullivan came up with a late free, and that game really, you know, it took the sting out of the game. Jack Sheehan replied fairly quickly after Rudon McCarthy had scored a goal in the opening half, and then James O'Connor had hit their second one for a 2-4-1-7 lead, and by the water break it was tied at 1-8-2-5, and you know, it was kind of, you know, who's going to take it? Nigale went ahead, and then, you know, Barry O'Sullivan's late free was kind of what got Dingle out of the zone. Watching them against Spa and Stranraer, they didn't look you know, full merit, but from what I heard from their performance at the weekend, they definitely deserved the 2 points coming from that game. And then, as you mentioned, Spa and Kinmare, you know, all the games at the senior grade last weekend seemed to be fairly tight. You know, it was another game that it looked like it could have gone there. Tommy O'Sullivan had scored a late goal in that game. It looked as if it was going to be a short Sean O'Shea, as we've seen countless times, levels the game with a late free, taking it into injury time. And then Griffin Wharton managed to level it in the dying seconds, and Kinmare have their first point.
Yeah, it was a huge point for Kinmare, in fairness. Spa, I suppose, so close to getting there. But of course, Kinmare, over the last number of years, I mean, they've certainly proved really dogged team for the fight. Probably would have been disappointed, I suppose, losing to Nigale. But again, Dingle are a team, you know, a lot of people were writing them off after the first defeat. A win at home, and like I said, they're back in it. Let's go to the Intermediate Championship, because everybody is trying to find a winner out of this back into senior. I mean, you have some very, very big clubs there that have a couple of years trying to get back out of the Legion, of course, or tipped to get back up straight away. The first group, take us through Group 1.
So, obviously, in Group 1, we have Guineguilla, Ballydunahoo, Beaufort and Coro. And as it stands, Guineguilla remain unbeaten with 4 points at the top of the group, while Ballydunahoo and Beaufort are on 2 points apiece with a win each. Going into this weekend then, obviously, at 2:30 on Sunday, Beaufort take on Guineguilla. Beaufort and Coro are at home, should I say, to Ballydunahoo. Now, Ballydunahoo's performance last weekend in Beaufort will give them renewed confidence against Coro. Coro are at the bottom of the table on 0 points, and you know, if Ballydunahoo can get that win, and you know, Guineguilla manage to overcome Beaufort, Ballydunahoo will be in a good spot to advance into the competition. And you know, they did well against Beaufort. Giaconelli pointed a free just before the break, and that had given them a 1 point lead, 1-7-1-6. Dara Dennehy got the horse off to the optimum start. He found the net fairly early on. Jack Behan then levelled with a goal of his own late in the half before Kennelly put over that free kick. Then Kennelly was the man on hand to get the second Ballydunahoo goal. early into the second half, and their lead was fairly healthy until we got into injury time, but Beaufort dragged it back. Beaufort, another team that are fairly dogged and will get over the line when they want it, but they just couldn't fail to register a score to snatch any points late on. Then in the other game, Guineguilla have been fairly confident, 2-13 to 1-9 winners against Beaufort. It was a fairly dramatic game. We saw two late goals. Corrode hit the net, maybe a consolation score if Sean O'Keefe had hit the net for the host with about a minute left in that game deep into injury time. So that'll be a fairly interesting group anyway as far as group one is concerned. I suppose if Beaufort can beat Guineguilla, it'll come down to head to head between themselves and Ballydunahoo. If Ballydunahoo can get ahead of Coro, but if Coro pull out the win against Ballydunahoo, it could be fairly interesting come Sunday evening. Might have to get the calculators out.
Absolutely.
To see.
Of course, you mentioned the name Dinahy playing with Beaufort. Of course, older listeners will know, of course, that there's a lot of Coro blood in those two. Dinahy is play corner forward on the very first day. Of course, they're Pat Dinahy's sons, of course, but certainly Beaufort men now as well. Group two, Dermot.
Group two is Killarney Legion, Lone Rangers, John Mitchells and Drummond Pierces. In that one, as you mentioned, Killarney Legion definitely looking to return to the senior status. They're unbeaten so far. They're topping the table with 4 points. Lone Rangers and John Mitchells then bring up the rear with a win each, so 2 points there, and Drummond Pierces are at the bottom of the table with no points. Lone Rangers picked up a big win, of course, at the weekend, and that was Boyd. Anyway, it was a tightly contested game into the open half, should I say. They were leading 6-5 points at the break. Then they scored 2 second half goals in 2 minutes. Owen Clifford and a penalty from John Titer midway through the second half managed to swing the game in their favour. Big win for Lone Rangers, gives them renewed confidence, of course, that they will make it out of the group stages. While Legion definitely continued to impress at the weekend with their win over Drummond Pierces, 2-3 from Ryan O'Grady and 4 points from former Kerry star James O'Donoghue, who keeps Legion in the driving seat in that group. 1-12 to 3 points ahead at the break is definitely a performance that they wanted to put onto the books to get them up to 4 points in the group. And despite the best efforts of Graham O'Sullivan and Niall O'Shea, Drummond were, you know, they just couldn't compete against the much far superior Legion team. But Legion probably will be the team to top that group. We go into Sunday's fixtures. They host John Mitchells in their own ground over in Legion, while Lone Rangers are at home to Drummond. Based on looking at the league table form, Lone Rangers go with the win last weekend will probably feel confident going up against Drummond, but you know they're fairly near neighbours as well, so that game could swing either way, to be honest with you.
I'd say your North Kerry geography is hurting you there. I'd say Drummond, South Kerry and things, but they're neighbours enough. Long time ago they wouldn't live in the same field, but I mean, I suppose Drummond have come so far up, it's hard for them. I mean, I'm from back that direction. They just don't seem to have enough players to compete, but one thing that they will do is they will go out and they will compete as honestly as they can. And it would have been very interesting for them to see the likes of the Killarney Legion playing back there in Drummond as well. Group 3, if there was a group that turned into the group of death, Group 3 is it. Kilcommon and I suppose felt like, you know, we win against Gaeltacht and we're home and dry. And I suppose Glenbeg Glencar felt the same. If we pick up a win here against Desmond's, we're home and dry. It didn't turn out that way.
No, last weekend's results definitely blew that group right out of the water, and Gaeltacht picking up a 1-13 to 1-10 win over Kilcommon, and Castle Island picking up the win over Glenbeg, and that now sees each group in the team with a win each. So this weekend's fixtures, we'll see Kilcommon taking on Glenbeg and Desmond's at home to Ungwaeltuk. But going through the games, Kilcommon went into the break. They were ahead by a goal against Ungwaeltuk thanks to Keane Foley netting in the first half, 1-7 to 7 points at the interval. Foley, of course, is the son of last year's Kerry senior selector James Foley. He's a pretty young, talented player, and definitely one that Kilcommon are happy to have within their ranks. But 3 minutes into the second half, Kieran O'Callaghan managed to goal for Ungwaeltuk and put them back into the contest. While Kilcommon managed to steady themselves in the contest, it was the West Kerry men who managed to, you know, they managed to, they saw their manager sent off, but, you know, they got the win in the end. So look, they won't be too concerned, even though their manager was sent off. They'll be happy with that. And, you know, going to the Castle Island and Glenbeg game, it was a Thomas Hickey penalty that put Castle Island ahead, 1-4 to 5 points at the break. And Glenbeg, to their credit, they did hit 4 points in the bounce to begin and lead at one stage in the second half. But another fairly soft goal to concede for and Castle Island managed to get that. And that kind of ended their challenge. Mm-hmm. So that group, you mentioned, you know, the group of death. You know, it's going to be fairly interesting from that group if Kilcommon can get the win over Glenbeg, or whether we could see Ungwaeltuk or Kilcommon both remaining in the intermediate grade next year. Be interesting to see what way that group does pan out come
It really is. I suppose Kilcommon have that home game. I suppose home game is hugely important now, coming down to that. And it's quite simple. Whoever wins the two games will just go through to the quarterfinals. And I suppose that, you know, they'll be glad to get out of that group. A team that weren't given much hope of getting out of any group were St Mary's, my old neighbours behind. They went to Milltown Castlemaine and found five goals, and goals win games.
Yeah, you know, I suppose that is the age old saying that, you know, the goals do win you games. But, you know, St Mary's, with only 17 players, managed to put five goals past Milltown Castlemaine. And, you know, that's the performance that, you know, you want to say to the lads, look, we mightn't have the full strength panel, but we can definitely get the job done. And, you know, Polly Donoghue managed to get to net a brace in the first half, and Daniel Daly chipped in with another one, and they were 3-4 to 8 points ahead at half time. And, you know, they found the net twice in the second half, with Anthony Kernan and Sean Kernan managing to both find the net respectively. And, you know, Milltown missed the penalty late on, but I think it would have been a fairly consolation score to their credit. I think St Mary's were just a little bit better on the day. And then the final two teams in that group are Glenflesk and Rathmore picking up the second win in the group. They top with the group with 4 points. Their scoring ability definitely on show, as they were 10 points to not 7 ahead at the interval. Glenflesk, though, to their credit, were fairly strong and dogged at times in that game. But now Shane Ryan is more noted for his goal saving ability more than his goal scoring ability, but to his credit, he found the net after 51 minutes, and that really stung out the contest for Glenflesk. There were 7 points clear with minutes left, and Rathmore just ran down the clock and managed to keep their possession. And they top the group now. St Mary's have the win in the group. Glenflesk and Milltown Castlemaine both don't have a win in that group to date. So on Saturday at 7 o'clock, Rathmore will take on Milltown Castlemaine, and Rathmore and St Mary's will take on Glenflesk down in Cahersiveen in that group.
Absolutely. The Mayors will be looking for the 6 goals next week, the way they're going. Well, we're going to give you a brief break because we're going to be discussing the Premier Junior and the Junior after this. But one of the things that we met up during the week, I met up with Paulie Clifford, of course, and Eric McGlynn, two Fossil players returning to the club after their, I suppose, very, very good seasons. Eric, of course, in the All-Ireland final, Paddy, of course, with an All-Ireland medal. And I spoke to him about returning to the club.
Delighted to be joined by Eric McGlynn and Paddy Clifford, of course, of the Fossa Club. Guys, it's a fantastic evening here at the racecourse. We're launching the Fossa Classic to help raise funds for the club. What does Fossa mean to you, Paddy?
It means a lot. Sure, I wouldn't be where I am at the moment without Fossa, obviously. And there's great people involved. It means the world, really, yeah.
Yeah, Eric had the same feel, of course. You started your journey, Fossa.
Yeah, so, like, Fossa is a big part of my life. I suppose I wouldn't really call us a club, I'd call us a family. Do you know, we're always together. You know everyone in the parish, so it is great. And it's great to see, like, everyone gathering for fundraising and whatnot. It's all for the club in the end of the day.
Yeah, and, Paul, it's where it starts, obviously. I mean, there's people this evening, 5 and 6 age-year-olds, playing with their club all over the county. Where did it begin for you? Can you remember?
I suppose in the backyard first, and then I suppose I was about 4 when I first went down to Fossa, playing, I suppose, with Adam and under-6s that time. So that's where it all began. We got great culture all the way up, and
you had a fine big jersey and you were sent off at 4, were you?
That was actually, I might have been at some stage,
Erica, you had no problem with jerseys, had you? You were always make sure to fuss a jersey good and early in your career?
Yeah, definitely. I even started out with the boys, so I'd say that was a big help to help me progress into senior football with Fossa Ladies. So yeah, playing down in Fossa, training with the lads, training with the girls, it's all just all a part of it.
Yeah, of course, the one thing about a club, of course, is about giving back as well, and that's why we're here this evening, another event for you, which is fantastic golf event as well. How important is it for people to support this, and how important is it for the club?
It'll be great. Like, it'll be great if as many people as possible would support it. We obviously had the Night of Legends as well, and that went very well, and we're very thankful for everyone for supporting that. But this is another thing. I'd say it'll be a great day out, over 2 days even, but it'll be a great 2 days. And Yeah, that'll be a great crack to be had.
Absolutely. Erica, of course, it's a very strong ladies section within the club as well, believe it or not. You had a county senior championship won way back in the 70s. What's it like to be part of a club that has that very high understanding of equality within the club?
Yeah, I think it's massive. Like, obviously, as you said, the championship back in the 1970s, but also as Fossil Ladies is set up there in 2011 when I was only 11 myself. So it's great to see, and we've more and more girls coming into the parish and getting them playing. So that's what you want, and big numbers is brilliant.
Yeah, of course the county season is put away, it's back to the club. What's it like to come back to the boys? They've done fairly well in the league, they got promoted without you, you're stepping back in now. Pressure on, Paddy?
Yeah, pressure's on. No, I'm delighted to be back. We're having great crack in training and after matches and things like that. So yeah, no, I'm delighted to be back, and hopefully now we can push on in the junior premier. Like, we know how tough it's going to be, but we're hopeful anyway.
Yeah, and of course your own championship is starting in a couple of weeks, Erica. Who are you out against first in the ladies?
Our first game is against Dingle, so of course tough outfits. We've been Junior B now for the last 2 years, so hoping now that we'll be promoted now to Junior A this year.
And final question for you, Erica, are you good at the golf?
Oh, I feed the people back at the golf club anyway, as it is. I wouldn't be able to hit a golf ball though, I'll tell you that much.
Paddy, yourself, how's the golf skills?
Good, yeah, I'm a good golfer, right. I haven't been playing too much now in the last while, but I still have it, yeah.
So you still have it?
I do, yeah.
Fair play. Paddy, thanks very much. Sure, Erica, thanks very much.
Thank you.
There you go, Paddy Clifford. He still has it for the golf. Very competitive. I'd say he'd be competitive at anything he would do. So what we'll do is we'll take a break, and after the break we'll talk to Darcy O'Connell of Renard, and we'll catch up with more from Dermot on the Junior and the Premier Junior.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Home of the Roses 2022. Welcoming locals and visitors to Johnny Frank's Bar throughout the festival.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, we're catching up with all the weekend action there from the Kerry Petroleum Club Championships. Now one team, they've already booked their passage to the quarterfinals with minimum enough fuss really, is Renard. Three games, three wins, and all very smooth for the boys there back behind Pines Cross. But Saturday was a special day in many other ways as they unveiled their new pitch after depending, I suppose, on the kindness of neighbours for a while. And delighted now to have on is their chairman, Darcy O'Connell. Well, Darcy, first of all, congratulations on your very special evening, I suppose. I presume the whole of Renard, young and old, and everybody turned out to enjoy the sun and take a good look at the lovely grass.
Thanks, Donald. They did, yeah. We had a great crowd now down at the game the last evening. We had a bit of food and refreshments afterwards for people, just as a thank you for everything, for all the support we had got and the patience that they had with us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, it is a big day for the club because, in fairness to you, you've been trying to kind of improve your pitch for, I suppose, as long as I know, Renard, it's been one of those pitches that, you know, it's, I suppose, it's a real hometown pitch, difficult enough at times to play in. But, I mean, you went out, you collected money, you knocked on doors. Give us some idea of the amount of work that went into getting you to this day.
I suppose to start with, the job started the first week of September last year is when Allman first came in and turned the sod. It was the Allman brothers that did the job for us, and I just have to say there for Tim and Brendan and James, they were a pleasure to work for, and look, anything we asked or anything we queried, they were always up front with us, and you know, they made the job easy just with that. From then on, until this weekend, we've been off the field, and we have a second field we've been using. But for our seniors, I'd just like to thank Waterville GA, who very kindly gave us their field for all our senior county league games this year. Also, last year, they gave it to us for a game, along with St. Mary's and St. Michael's Filemore. And just also a big thanks to St. Mary's for the last 2 years, really, or a year and a half, with our underage and our cool camps. You know, we're trying to underage, but they facilitated like all the training and all the games, which is a burden on their field as well, you know.
They're great neighbours to have.
Yeah, sure. You have to have neighbours. Most of the time there would be a course.
Absolutely.
But we're all getting closer down South Kerry at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers.
With number-wise.
Yeah.
So I suppose, look, there's further work to be done on it. And, you know, our next plan of action is a walking track. And I'm delighted to say that it appears today we have got the okay for some grant funding on that. So hopefully that's something we can get up and running now in the short term. And also, I suppose, just a thanks to the Sports Capital Ireland for the original grant for the field, and Minister Brendan Griffin, who was helpful throughout the whole process, and that, you know, it probably wouldn't have been possible without getting that initial grant. It gave us the boost, you know, to approach the job.
Yeah, it certainly helps, and I suppose it concentrates the mind too, getting grant funding, because all of a sudden you know that the project is green to go, and you still and you need to put a bit of work yourself into it. Talk to us. I suppose a lot of people might know where Renard is. Give us a brief profile, maybe, of the club. I know where it is, but for listeners on other parts of Kerry, where are you hiding out? And give us a brief profile of maybe the playing numbers and all that.
Well, I suppose we're down in South Kerry. We're just outside the town of Castlevine there, you know, so St Mary's, our nearest club, and then Skellig Rangers and Port Magee would be on the other side of us. We're down there, just, I suppose, the area of the Point, Renard, up around Killow, out of Ahatubrid, Ahermung, all those areas. You know, it's a small enough area that we pick our pool from. You know, we wouldn't be cutting ourselves. We know we're one of the smaller clubs in the county size-wise, but I suppose we've always tried to make the most of what we had. We've good enough numbers at present, you know, the underage situation, as everybody's aware of, around the peripheries of the county is dropping all the time. But at present now, we have a good solid core of players there. You know, we have a B team playing the Development League as well, and, you know, we're hoping now that next year again we'll have another 3 or 4 or 5 fellas coming out of minor into our senior panel and, you know, things like that to keep us going. But I suppose really, considering our size, you know, it's the fundraising itself was a daunting task, you know, because we don't have huge membership or huge area, but we knew from previous history that the support was there from our club members and from others, so, you know, it gave us a bit of confidence to start our fundraising. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, no, certainly a good community down there. To be honest, I suppose for people that don't know, it's very, very rural. I know you have that big long road all the way down to the Point, but I mean, you're back to the cream right there and the bit of mountain behind you. It's not a huge area for picking players. The club, of course, lost the Great Warrior the last month. I was above in Galway, actually, when I got a text to say that my good old pal Johnny Mahoney had passed away. How big a shock was that back in the club, and what a big loss Johnny will be?
It was a shock across the board. You know, it was an awful shock to club members. You know, Johnny had trained and played with an awful lot of people involved in the club. You know, he had trained our senior teams. He'd been involved with underage teams before. He'd been a senior player for a long, long time with the club. And, you know, it was a shock to all his friends around the club, but to the whole wider community, you know. As you said, Dawn, you know Johnny was a character, you know. Mm-hmm. Everywhere Johnny was, there was a crowd around him, you know, and I suppose no bigger shock than to his own family, you know, really.
He was a great umpire as well at times, wasn't he, when he wanted to be.
You need that too.
Absolutely. A great character, Johnny. Of course, stuck in the rowing, of course, went over the water for many a year as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's amazing. I suppose every club has a Johnny Mahoney, but it's just a shock, and we'll just touch with poor Johnny tonight on that. You're into the quarterfinal of the county championship, as small as you are, with all the 4 green fields that you have. And you won your 3 games without too much fuss, I'd imagine. 3 wins from 3, you must be happy with that.
Yeah, we got 3 wins from 3. You know, we had a first game was up in my van. It was a bit, you know, you're never really sure when you're travelling away for the first game how it's going to go. But we came out of that with the win. We played Cremon the second game. We got off to a very good start. Took Cremon a little bit of time to get going. They gave us a bit of a fright in the second half. It got a bit hairy for a while, you know. We pulled away near the end. And I suppose ourselves and Scott again were really playing for first place on Saturday evening. And I suppose maybe the bit of a journey down tires out the opposition team always, you know. So we got our win in the end. We finished off fairly strong in the game. So we topped the group, and we'd be happy enough with that. That would have been the ambition at the start of the year. I suppose we were disappointed last year with the semi-final. Chairs and management would tell you that, you know, we felt we didn't perform. So we'd like to, you know, have another cut at it this year now, and hopefully maybe be able to go that one step further and make a final. And if you make a final, it's anyone's game then on the day, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the odds on you winning the South Kerry Championship have been slashed already, have they?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. No, we'll stay in the long grass of that now for another.
You don't have any long grass no more, sir. Renard's a prop as good as Crow Park now.
Yeah, and to be honest, Donal, if you don't mind, I might just mention a bit about our fundraiser for it, because it was one of the biggest undertakings by the club in a very long time. And, you know, to be honest, I'm still a bit shocked and humbled by how well it went. You know, we started off on the 9th of July last year, and we sold online and in person, you know, around the place. And our first online sale was actually from a player in Australia. Medal Grant Australia. He was keeping an eye to see when it was. And I suppose after that, almost every weekend, we had people in the club that sat around at tables all over South Kerry, Tralee, Kenmare, Killarney. We had men in Arklow who took tickets to sell, and we had club members that went to London for a family do and went over and sold it, flashed the tickets around London while they were there. So they, we had unbelievable support locally, you know, people from all the surrounding clubs, be they South Kerry or the days were in Tralee or Kenmare or Killarney, other people there, and the wider GA people, you know, GA people are generous, you know, GA gets a lot of stick at times, you know, but, you know, a lot of people now that are on holidays down around South Kerry, you know, they all, you know, Dubs and Cork people and everything, you know, they all supported a local thing when they could see, and it actually meant we were overwhelmed, really. Like, we were sold, all the tickets were sold by the 10th of October, and our draw was scheduled for the 30th. So we actually had a fortnight leading into it, where we didn't have the pressure of trying to push tickets on people, you know. We could sit back a bit and relax into the thing. And every member or family in the club sold or bought tickets. I can say that with hand in heart. Every member in the club and every family in the club sold or bought tickets on behalf of it. And the other thing that really capped it off was we got some fantastic sponsorship, you know, which we wasn't really expecting, you know, apart from the sale of the tickets. A new club sponsor came on during it, Claire and Jimmy Shukru from Ahermung there with Evertech Broadband. They're actually our club sponsors now. They got us new jerseys and everything. Former players, Paul Sullivan, Shane Lynch, who were over in New York, sent money. John Shukru, our farmer and the farmer Kerry trainer from Port Leash. The three O'Sullivan brothers, Pat Dearmer and John Thomas, whose brother Dennis, I just want to mention, was a former chairman of the club and was always involved in a lot of development work during his time. You know, he was involved in the purchase of our second field, a lot of local businesses, O'Leary's Veterinary, Cochrane's Furniture, Daly's Undertaker, Brian and Cathy Donovan, then Tim O'Sullivan, the Keating family, and Murphy Construction from
London.
There
was no money left in South Kerry by the time you got it all, I'd say, was there?
No, we actually found it that people approached us for tickets. We didn't have to go down the road of the hard sell. You know, people were willing to help, and, you know, even when you're talking about help, like, we always be grateful to the Vans Motors in Castle Island, you know, especially Dennis now and our local man, Brendan Sullivan, who was working up there. You know, they came on board as soon as we approached them about the first prize for the car, with, you know, full support regarding the draw, regarding giving us the use of the car to highlight the sales. We were allowed to keep it in South Kerry.
I'd say with all the experience you'd have, you'll nearly have a second car draw, I'd say. But we'll have to leave it there, because we're going a small bit over time. But clear, listen.
Just before I go, can I just say two last things there? Just also to thank clubman Alan O'Neill, who provided the second prize, and the Hotel Europe and Sean Minehan with the third. Okay. And just a quick shout out to Batty Callaghan and Owen Brosnan, who helped us with the draw, and particularly Owen, who came on board. He'd be a friend of Killian Young's and was very helpful to us with legal work and getting us permits. I just wanted to give him a quick mention on that.
Fair play to you. Jesus, if you ever want a job in sales and radio carrier, I'd say you could bring your CV in, Darcy. I'd say you'll be flying there as well. Listen, come here, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and it's good, I said, to catch up, I suppose, with clubs throughout Kerry, and something that we intend to do here in Terrace Talk, because it's the bottom ring of the ladder, and the first step is the most important step in any ladder, and you're doing great work back there, and long may it continue, and I look forward to going back supporting St. Michael's Filemore on your lovely pitch there sometime too, if we get to meet each other.
Even if Ellie aren't playing, feel free to call down.
Fair play to you.
We'll give her the tour.
Fair play to you. Darcy, thanks very much. Thanks for joining us. There's Darcy. He certainly is quite happy. Very quickly and very briefly, Dermot, who's topping those junior groups before we move on?
So, staying with the Junior Club Football Championship, Bernard and Scarta Glen are topping the table in Group 1. They have advanced to the quarter final stage. In Group 2, Cordell and Sneem Derrynan have advanced out of there. In Group 3, we have Tarberton Fieries both topping the group with 4 points apiece, and they will entertain each other this weekend as well to see who comes out topping that one on the final day. While Knocknagoshal has topped Group 4 with Fenuig and Dubois tied on 3 points, but Fenuig have advanced from Group 4. Switching over then to the Junior Premier Championship, We'll start with Group 1 there. Skellig Rangers are top in the group on 4 points, while St Sinan's, with a win over Churchill last weekend, are up to second on 2 points. Aunascall and St Michael's, and your own St Michael's Foilmore, are there. Aunascall are top in Group 2, while St Michael's Foilmore and Brosna are tied with 2 apiece going into the final day. In Group 3, Ballymakelliga topped the group with 4 points, while Arfort and Kiel are tied with 2 points apiece in that one. And in Group 4, Fossa and Lestroy are tied with 4 points apiece, while Lissoul Emmons and Castle Gregory have no points in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, there's one round of games for most of them to get going. Dermot, listen, thanks for joining us this evening. It's great to catch up, and it's great to kind of put people in a mix. And, you know, people love hearing their own clubs being mentioned and being named and the whole lot. An awful lot of football. It's amazing. People said that there's going to be no football once the county stars were off the track, but that's certainly not the case, and there's plenty more football, and we'll be talking to you again maybe, thanks for keeping us updated. We'll take a break.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Owen Barry here with you until 8 o'clock. Now, as strange as it may seem, water conservation restrictions may cause supply disruptions to Ahanboy, Mean, Leitrim and the Greater Knocknagoshal areas later on tonight. So out in Knocknagoshal, there's water everywhere, but there mightn't be water everywhere. And Irish Water and Kerry County Council, they thank you for your patience and cooperation, and hopefully we'll get that sorted fairly quickly. There's a couple of minor games on this evening as well. And the latest is that one of those games put back to 18:45, and that of course is the battle between South Kerry and Mid Kerry, and we'll bring you a few updates on that in the later hours. Now, what have we next for you? It's a beautiful game, well, in miniature form anyway. It's a beauty, I suppose. It once dominated kitchen tables and floors for decades all over Kerry and beyond, until the advent of video gaming, of course. And now enthusiasts are saying it's enjoying a resurgence, with players sharpening their finger-flicking skills after seeking out the old sets during lockdown. And my next guest is going to tell us a lot more about that. I have to say, Dave, when I saw this, I was pretty excited, because during lockdown, my poor old Sabutio set, it unfortunately was dragged down, and I was like, my God, that's the Man United team from 1985. If they were only as good on the Sabutio table as they are now. Dave, talk to us about this reincarnation of the game and the re-enjoyment and people finding their way to having great fun again.
Yeah, hi, Donal. Yeah, it's great to be on the show. Yeah, it's, you know, kind of surprising. It's kind of taken, you know, it's taken off again, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. You know, I think in the UK it seems to be, you know, there's more of a resurgence. But, you know, definitely in Ireland, you know, mainly it was kind of in the north, you know, the Donegal, Derry area, where it was kind of quite popular. But, you know, there's a new club after springing up in Dublin. And now there's kind of, you know, we've started our own one here in Tralee. So, yeah, you know, it's looking good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Dave, I suppose for most people that aren't aware of it, obviously I'm aware of it, and I suppose it was as a game of its time, that I suppose it was nearly as important as having kind of a soccer badges or soccer stickers or soccer cards to swap. The game itself, for people that don't know about it, maybe we might just explain that to them.
Yeah, so basically it's kind of played on a pitch. So, you know, like, I suppose in mine in your time, it'd be like a kind of a beige kind of fold-out pitch. You know, the pitch is roughly about 5 foot by 3.5 feet. You'd have, like, plastic goals, and then, you know, the pinnacle of it really was the players. They'd be about an inch high on the kind of a sort of a pudding base, and their kind of base would be the best way to describe them. And, you know, like, they'd be all kind of, like, painted in the strips of pretty much every kind of team, you know, worldwide. The kind of the era of Sabutio that I was kind of in is slightly different to yours, you know, like, kind of when I was playing it, it would have been around 1973 up to about 79, whereas I think, you know, you were saying that you were kind of into the game in the 80s.
That's right. I had Brian Robson and those fellas. You can go back a bit further.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it would have been you know, Sammy McElroy and, you know, Steve Coughlin and Stuart Day and that type of thing, you know. But, the players kind of sort of changed. You know, when I was playing it, you were called lightweights, and players were actually hand-painted in Tunbridge Wells in Kent by, they had an army of women that used to do it. Now, kind of when, I think in your area, you're actually kind of like machine-painted, so, you know, the accuracy on the kind of the kits and that sort of thing was, you know, it was a lot more kind of accurate than, in my day. So, I think just missed out as well about the ball was kind of like slightly, just a little bit smaller than the players as well. So, different types of balls as well. Plastic goals, and then, you know, like you could kind of build on to that as well. There was, you could kind of get stadiums, you know, build grandstands, you know, loads and loads of different kind of accessories. There was, a fence, a cameraman, police ambulance, TV tower, dugouts, you name it. It was in the real game, Sabitio kind of copied it.
Yeah, you could make your own stadium. You had your own Wembley, even though it was inside in your kitchen, and the cup of tea was beside it, but the bottle of milk only down the road. It was a great, when it was at its height, it was kind of the cool thing. Obviously, I suppose videos and gaming, and it kind of wiped it out, I suppose, like a lot of things of its time. But talk to us about how actually big it was in people's lives, I suppose, for kids. I remember guys at Christmas time, it was always on the list. Even if it was a birthday, you were looking for it, and you were looking, like you said, maybe you had your team, but you wanted something else. You wanted nicer goals than the ones you had, or maybe you wanted goals for the first time because you didn't have a set of goals. The goalkeepers, talk about the goalkeepers. They were a little bit funny because they had a little stick at the back. They were a little bit more controllable.
There's actually different kind of types of goalkeepers. They sort of tried everything, but to be able to control the goalkeepers, the actual goalkeeper would have been, roughly the same size of a player, but, most of them were kind of like arch back, if you can remember that. Mm-hmm. And then there was there was a little kind of stick, that's the way you could control them, because, physically you couldn't really put your hand down and, the ball would hit your hand, if you tried to move the keeper. So, it's quite, it was a pretty good idea. I think the original goalkeepers were actually on a piece of wire. Mm-hmm. And, with a tiny little hole kind of drilled in the back of his face, and, he kind of stuck the wire into there. They're actually like interchangeable goalkeepers. You could have diving goalkeepers, or you could have like kind of crouching goalkeepers as well,
Yeah, he'd be there forever. Yeah. Yourself and a couple of buddies are setting up, I suppose, I won't say, we don't really know, I suppose, if it's the first ever Kerry team, but it's certainly some place to go on a Friday evening with a couple of hours. Speak to us about that, Dave.
We kind of got it going there, we sort of talking about it maybe for about 6 months. And, so the first meeting there was last Thursday. It was in the, Mount Hope Park, the Kerry District League, which, while I'm on here, I'd just like to thank them for, hosting us. It's kind of an excellent venue, for us to be at. So, on kind of, terms, when you sort of look around, the UK and even Ireland, the size of the clubs is not huge. We only kind of started off there. There was, three of us kind of met on Thursday. We had a few games and, that's pretty much how it started. But, to be honest, I feel, it's a good game. I think, there's a lot of people out there that, are a little bit nostalgic about it, that, might be kind of interested in, taking part and, coming along and playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I suppose we'll open the invitation to everyone and anyone who... it's not a game that you'll have to do 50 laps yourself around the field anyway, so it's a bit more casual than that. And I suppose on the other side, and we'll wrap up with this, is that it's still a very sociable thing. You've obviously a competitive streak in you, but it's ultimately very sociable. It's people having a bit of crack too, having a good conversation, and maybe even just done what we've done in the last 10 minutes, kind of reliving the old memories, which, nostalgia does bring you a long way.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing is, the times we've kind of been through is, you know, get people out, you know, get them into an environment where, you know, where we're sort of mixing and kind of playing, you know, games like Sabuto and that sort of thing. You know, it's kind of great for that. And kind of, you know, what I'm kind of looking at doing is, I think to be saying that, you know, we start the club, you know, asking people to go over to a club meeting, it might kind of put them off a little bit. Mm-hmm. So on the 25th of August at the Perry District League at 6:30, I'm kind of going to do like a kind of an introduction sort of meeting there, you know. You know, we'll do a little bit of mentoring, play a few fun games, you know, show people the rules, the techniques of how to flick and that sort of thing, you know, so people can come along, you know, in a nice kind of relaxed environment and, you know, just, you know, try it for themselves. You know, so, you know, kind of hopefully that'll work and, you know, it might bring a few new people in, it might bring a few that have, you know, played it in the past and, you know, would, you know, like to have another crack at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, Dave, we wish you the very best. Look, thanks for taking our call this evening. It's great to have it on the show. And as I said, if we can get another couple of people in there to join your team, we'll be delighted to help out on that. That, of course, was Dave Elton. I suppose they're trying to bring the past back to us, and you know what, I'm all in favour of it. I might even dust down our own kit here at home. A big congratulations to Jason Gaynor, Billy McKelligott, who won the long puck yesterday in Carlow. Yeah, absolutely. Here's a comment first. Great to see Eamon Hickson making a return for on the Scall this weekend. Eamon, of course, home for August. I hope he had all his proper paperwork or you're after hanging him there. But I'd say he's pretty good. Just want to say the pitch in Renard is top class. The Allman brothers don't get enough credit for all the work they do in Munster, and that's from John Brown. Yeah, absolutely. I really look forward to go back to Renard to have a look at the fine work. I saw the pictures of it. It looked like a carpet. Hi, Donald. The traditional patron sports in Knockdagashel have been postponed due to the weather, and they'll now take place at 6 p.m. next Saturday. And that's from Kieran there in Knockdagashel. Thank you very much, Kieran. And we might even call that out again. Donald, we'll wish Paris McCarthy all the best of luck as she travels to America to play basketball. She was such a role model in Castle Island, both on the basketball court and with Desmond's ladies. And yeah, we certainly echo all those calls. Paris, a real ambassador of her sport, and we wish her the very best of luck in America there when she takes up college basketball. That must be really exciting for her. Don't love the Aston Stacks and Kieran O'Reilly's game on Sunday. While the game was exciting, I felt that it was far too dangerous to have the large crowds on the sideline with all the players. The Aston Stacks players were warming up when they had no space along the sidelines and had to warm up in the backfield. Surely it was too big a crowd for the venue. Well, look, I was at it. It was certainly a large crowd. I suppose there was people everywhere. But look, it's a home game for Aston Stacks. I mean, the game wouldn't have gone ahead if the county board didn't feel it was safe. And you know what? It was great to see all the, I suppose, the support and the banter between the two town clubs. And of course Aston Stacks have it all to look forward to again, because they're playing the Gaelic County Championship. So another big day out for all the people in Tralee. And then we have another one there on programmes. We'll discuss that maybe after the break. And then one more congratulations to Pat Murphy, Castle Island Race Walking, who won the All-Ireland Masters Race Walking Championship in Tullamore on Saturday. Yeah, Pat certainly has been walking and walking for a long time, and an awful lot of medals and plaques and everything. So what we'll do is we'll go to the break, and after the break we talk cricket.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee,
home of the Roses 2022, welcoming locals and visitors to Johnny Frank's Bar throughout the festival.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, it's a sport that has 250 billion fans worldwide. Wow. And that includes my next few guests, and I'm sure we'll have a few more added on to that hopefully this evening after this conversation. I'm delighted to say that I have members of the Kerry County Cricket Club joining me for the next half hour or so to discuss all things about their beautiful game on and off the pitch, of course. And it's a big Terrace Talk welcome to Dave Ramsey, who has a very nice, handy, easy name, but he goes by the chairman, honorary chairman. Brian here, he's from Clare. That kind of rhymes, Brian. I just threw that in. I didn't know where that was coming from, but he's smiling now anyway, and he's the coach of the Eyster Catchers. I have Becky Pinchard, who has a very hard name, but she's the star bowler, I was told. And I have Gemma Lockheed, who is the captain from Kildare, with a Scottish background. I think I've you all covered at this stage. Hopefully, anyway. Dave Ramsey, cricket in Kerry. I suppose there was a time you were probably the only person that even talked about it, but it's growing. Every time we head off there to Phoenix now, there's always somebody inside that pitch with you throwing a ball or catching a ball or batting a ball, fellas sitting down having tea, the whole lot. It certainly has grown and developed in the last number of years. Tell people that don't know what the Kerry County Cricket Club is.
Well, Donald, it actually was formed back in 1988, so it's taken some years to get where we are now. We've gradually improved every 10 years from minor to junior, and now we're up there as a senior club. We've nearly 50 members. If I include the ladies, it's probably 60. And it's the club is, every weekend is on the go. There's two games, Saturday, Sunday, every week. And then in midweek, we'd have a midweek game. So it's we've gone from strength to strength. This season, we've done very, very well in the men. But I'd have to say the highlight of the summer has been the ladies, who have been absolutely outstanding. We had a wonderful day 2 weeks ago when they had their first ever formal game with Pembroke from Dublin, and they've really brightened up our life.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? It's amazing. It's a story that catches fire, but it's bigger than the story, because you're starting kind of a new route or a new road here that you can unearth players, and it helps the club, it develops the club, and I suppose ultimately it'll sustain the club itself.
Yeah, well, hopefully, and particularly the ladies' side of it, which is thriving. We could do with more investment in the schools, but it's very difficult to get coaches to go into schools, get the young people playing, and bringing them forward up to the club. But, you know, we keep trying it, Donald, and We do have a development officer from the Munster Cricket Union, and I really do think that's very important from our perspective to bring new players into the club.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, speak to us about the new players, I suppose. Brian here, a Clare man, he's the first coach of the ladies' team. The ladies' team, of course, he gave a nice new name to, it's the Eyster Catchers.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Super. Whose fault was that?
I had nothing to do with it. That's all them.
Is it all?
After a couple of beers up in the Easter Tavern, I think conversations were had, and they came up with that, I think.
Absolutely.
But we did take a vote.
Did you have a close second, or was it just a landslide victory?
Landslide victory.
Well, super, fair play. Brian, speak to us about getting involved, doing the coaching, and I suppose ultimately setting yourselves up for the first game.
I suppose I'm not really at it myself that long. I'm only at it about 5 or 6 years, so... We were kind of up there at training one evening, and Dave and a few others kind of mentioned that there was a few girls looking to get involved, but they need a coach, and I don't know, I thought they were kind of taking the mick a bit, having a bit of fun with it, so I was like, yeah, no bother, I'll do it. Not expecting it really to take off, to be honest with you. So then the first Wednesday we went up, and Gemma and a few others came up, and to be honest, they were great crack. Crazy, but the good side of crazy, you know, a lot of fun. So the enthusiasm was huge, and they brought a few more of them next week and next week and next week. And like, from me thinking that nothing would happen, it's really, really snowballed. So now we're an established club now. We've probably got about 13 or 14 members, really. Really could do with a few more to kind of get a proper squad going. But like, caters for pretty much every age, every ability. You just have to want to have a bit of fun, really. That's all you need.
Does the social side disappear a small bit now? You said it was a bit of crack and you weren't too sure it was going to take off, but it did take off, and now you, as Dave said, you've got a game, you're on the ladder. Does it become a little bit more like, well, you know, we don't want to go out and have a bit of fun and get hammered, or we want to go out and be competitive, and is there a bit more involved in it, or is it still really at kind of infancy stage where you're kind of just developing the product and you still have that good bit of crack and the whole lot?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, we're still at the infancy stage, to be honest with you. Kind of anybody come down on the Wednesday and it's pretty much guaranteed to have a bit of fun. In saying that now, the first game against Pembroke, I did see the competitive eyes come out a bit. Like, you never want to go out in a field and embarrass yourself, or you want to give a draw, like, which they did, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But get as many new players in, and you know, you'll be looked after, you'll have a bit of fun, absolutely.
Jim, when the kit goes on, it's not Wednesday night anymore, and you go up for your toss and you hope to win it, and then you have the big decision, will I bet or will I, you know, what's the other side of it? We sit down and wait for them to run up a score on us. From your perspective, you're the first captain. I mean, that'll never be taken away from you. My God, I mean, that'll be in history books, and it'll be a question that'll be asked at every pub quiz from here on to infinity, hopefully. But we say responsibility aside, what's it like to work, I suppose, and work is probably the word, in a group scenario where you have a team of 11 and you're putting everybody into their place, and it's like Brian says, like, you, it's a bit of fun, but you don't want to be hammered and you don't want to be hot. What's that vibe like?
Yeah, I suppose, I've learnt an awful lot over the past year about the game, but about the strategy, about how to include everybody, about how to kind of identify people's strengths and maybe a little bit their weaknesses. And last week it was a brilliant day, and it was the kind of the first official cricket ladies match in we do believe Munster, but certainly Kerry. And I had a lot to do in the sense of working out batting order, working out fielding positions. But that said, I had an awful lot of help from Brian, who really advised me. And I think Brian's very well placed, to really know who's good and bad at what. So, I think many thanks to Brian, because, the truth is, I don't think last week would have happened without him. And I think week in, week out, he turns up and he really motivates us, and really kind of inspires us to want to keep coming back and keep learning new skills, you know, making new friends. And I think the thing is, somebody, both Dave and Brian have mentioned it, we have great fun together week in, week out. We had great fun at the Pembroke game, and I think that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Becky, talk to us about the Pembroke game. I mean, as I said to Jim, it gets serious. You have to go in now and you have to bet, and you have to probably try and get those sneaky ones where you go over and back without getting caught, and you mustn't get caught, and you're probably out the backfield trying to catch something, and you're hoping that it won't fall through your hands, or do they go as far as the boundary, Dave? I don't know, hedgy cuff the boundaries, I'm not too sure. We'll find out a bit more, don't worry about it. But what's the excitement like? I mean, in you go, bet, off you go. What's in your head?
Yeah, I suppose we were very happy in the Pembroke game to start out as the doing bowling first, because we're always a bit nervous about the bowling. We've got kind of batting comes more naturally to you, so
we're meant to hit stuff, we're not throw stuff.
Yeah, it's just a bit of an awkward way of throwing a ball, but so we were happy to start out with that, and that gave us a bit of kind of confidence going into it that we'd get that out of the way first. And I think the minute we went in and started bowling, we all got in the zone a bit, and we were doing some great fielding, and we started to see that we were playing quite well, so that kind of really started.
And of course, it's a great feeling. I mean, like, obviously somebody had to get the first wicket, somebody had to get the first score. I mean, that excites the team. Somebody had to get the first catch. I mean, all those things are probably discussed after the game, and regardless of what the result is, you know, that's how it's going to be the first. And there are things that you build on, and maybe the ones that were missed, you'll say, oh my, maybe I should have been 2 feet over here. There are things that to discuss and work forward. So you're already looking forward to possibly your next game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, something we take away from it is we did get boundaries, and if I'm correct, Pembroke didn't get boundaries. So,
celebrate the big wins.
Excited, yeah. That's something. It's that thrill of kind of catching that ball from the air, or you know, getting the wicket, and that the buzz that comes from that. So,
but yeah, and I think to add to what Becky said, I don't think we can underestimate the type of cricket club that Pembroke is. It is a club that is steeped in cricket history. I think it was founded in the 1800s. They've been playing women's cricket since the 1970s, and we've been playing for just 1 year. But that said, we did, I think, give them a very good run for their money. I was chatting with their captain afterwards, Becca, and she did admit to me that at a certain point in time, they did feel under pressure. And I think, you know, for a team of ladies that have been playing for such a short amount of time, I think that's something for us to be very, very proud of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, look, there's plenty to be proud of, and we'll discuss a little bit more after. Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot after the break, because we've been talking boundaries and betting and catching, and there's fellas at home in Kerry and Knocknagoshal and back in the Maharees and down in Carrigaline, and it's not hurling we're talking about. So you might give us a few little quick pointers and things that people might know and learn, and we'll go through a little bit of the rules without. We don't want the Duckworth Lewis method now or anything. We won't have enough time for that, but we'll go in after this break.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Good evening, and listen to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here with you until 8 o'clock this evening. We're having a bit of fun in the studio here with the Eister Catchers. Yes, Brian definitely said it wasn't his job, but we did say it was a landslide victory for the name, and of course it is Kerry's latest club, and it is a cricket club, and it's a women's club, which is even probably a little bit more important as well. Dave, before we go on, okay, we have a couple of guys on I suppose the 400 looking for comments, looking for small little explanations of what we've been having, because you know it's a little bit complicated if you haven't played it before. Explain to us very, very quickly and briefly how to play a game of cricket and get a couple of scores without going all the way into the information. Leave your encyclopedia down now, just briefly.
Well, basically, Donald, each game has a certain length. It's what they call 20 overs, 40 overs, 45 overs, or 50 overs. Now, the important thing is what's an over. An over is six balls bowled by the fielding team at the batsman, and he in turn then tries to hit the ball and score runs. You can score one, two, three, and then the what you call a boundary, which would be four. Or if you clear the boundary without bouncing, it's six. So that after the first overs are bowled, you change ends so that the bowler will bowl from the opposite end and bowl to the batsman at the opposite end. Mm. And each batsman tries to get as many runs as he can. Now you can be out either by being actually bowled when the ball hits the stumps, or if you're caught, if the batsman hits the ball to a fielder without bouncing, he's caught and he's out. And then there's what they call run out. Because the batsmen run up and back, if you can remember your rounders days, instead of running around, you run up and back. And if he doesn't get to what we call the wicket in time, he can be run out. They're the basic methods of how you get out in cricket. The notion of, shall we say it, when you want to stay in, then you block the ball. Now that can be quite boring, but that's the traditional way of playing cricket.
It's like the old Arsenal days under. Keep everything down and we won't score, yeah. and we're, before we know it, we've halfway done and bring on a few fellas and he'll smack it. So the most important thing anyway is that both teams get the same chance. They bet, they have their chance to score. As you said, they're one, they're two, twos and threes, I suppose. You want to sprint up and down fairly lively. Yeah. Four is some fella either miss it midfield and it hits the boundary, and six is what you see
over without bouncing.
Absolutely.
And there's 11 players. The first team, what they call the fielding team, they're the side that are bowling, and the other side are the batting team. And when they're all out, when the 11 batsmen are out, then you reverse, and the bowling team then goes into bat, and the batting team goes into bowl. That's right. And so it sounds very confusing.
And you have your lunch in the middle of it.
you have the tea and sandwiches, what we would call half-time break. And that's very traditional in cricket.
Brian, with all what Dave has told us, and he sent you up the top of the field to look after initially four ladies, and next thing there was six, and then the following night there was 10 or 11, and the next thing you had a team, and next thing you were told you were having a game. How would you sit down then and decide, this is my batting order, this person I would put out the backfield because they've got great hands and maybe they can sprint fairly lively to get a ball back, or maybe this person can throw it a lot better, these are natural bowlers. Where did you find that knowledge, or was that just a case of moving the pieces of paper around the clipboard and seeing what came up?
Well, I suppose cricket's kind of pretty different in a lot of other sports. Like, I would have grown up playing football and hurling and all the rest of it, and the manager is the guy who picks the team and makes all the tactics. But in cricket, it's a bit different. The captain actually has the most power. The captain picks the team, the captain picks the batting lineup, the captain picks the order of the bowlers, who comes in. So it's very much kind of it was a discussion between myself and Gemma.
So Gemma had to make the hard decisions.
Yeah, it's all about designating the responsibility. So she actually picked a lot of it. We had a discussion. I gave my thoughts. She gave her thoughts, and you kind of come up with a kind of the tactics you want to go with that day.
Gemma, how long were you training before you sat down and decided I'm going to put them up first and put them in the middle order and hopefully with them?
I don't know if Brian would agree with this, but I feel like just as time went on, it became quite obvious who was good at what, and I think it just happened very naturally. Is that fair to say, Brian?
Yeah, I would.
A captain and a coach agreeing with a chairman looking across the table at him. Well, I mean, that's a bit of history in itself. Let's talk about your time with him and enjoyment and fun, Becky. I mean, obviously there's the social side. The winning is great, or the competing and the competitive side. But speak to us about the social side. Have you met more friends? Have you met new friends? Have you met friends that you probably haven't spoke to before, and all of a sudden you're WhatsApping cricket scores and watching Ireland playing Pakistan or some team like that?
Yeah, I suppose, I've met people that live in my area that same age as me that I wouldn't have met before because I didn't grow up in that community. So it's been great. I've met people through the sport who've gotten me involved in other things, gym classes, and so it's been great just getting to know everybody. It started last year kind of right at the end of COVID, so it was great timing because you're kind of all looking to get out of the house a bit, and it was just something to join. Everybody was new at it. Nobody knew how to play, so we were all learning together, and I think that's what really bonded us as well, that, you know, nobody knew the rules. And
You were all in the same boat.
Yes. So, and then, and then there was a nice social atmosphere as well. Yeah. So.
Gemma, what came up there, bonding. I suppose every team needs to have that kind of, you know, regardless of how good or bad, there's a tightness about it, and you get better and you find more people that maybe Becky has a friend down the road and she's quite good and she adds in, and I suppose the whole team aspect of it. And how important is it to put that flag up there first, which you've done now? You've played that first game. This is kind of the media side of it, that, you know, you're putting the call out there tonight. If there's somebody back in Valencia who, God knows, has played cricket before and knows what we're talking about, you know, scoot up the road to us, maybe above in Phoenix. I mean, we will take a look, or you know, to be great to see it, or maybe we could have a second team, you know, you'd never know. How important is this part of it now, the media side of it, to get it out there, get all that information out there, and I suppose to open the doors to get more people in?
Yeah, hugely important, I would say. I think, you know, traditionally, word of mouth probably and was the way that people heard about these things, but I suppose we do live in a modern world, and why not use the likes of social media? We do have a Facebook page, Kerry County Cricket Club, and
Mick Jones is very busy.
He is indeed, and hello Mick, I'm sure he's listening. We also have an Instagram page, so if anyone would like to follow that. But I suppose, and it's something that I did want to mention, we do train every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and anybody and everybody would be welcome. I think sport is for everybody, and I think it's very important to promote women's sport wherever possible. We train in the Oyster Oval, which is just opposite the Oyster Tavern in the Spa, and I suppose that's another thing to mention, is that when Pembroke were here last week, I think they were a little bit blown away by the view that we do have of Tralee Bay. So, you know, we go down on Wednesday, we train, we learn a new sport, we learn new rules, but my goodness, we do it with a view.
Yeah. Dave, how important is that? It's a fantastic picturesque pitch, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's unique, Donald. I don't think there's anything like it in the country. And I remember when just developing the ground, and I was out walking the field, and our developer, Tim Allman, came over, and I said, "Tim, I'm a bit worried there about the pitch." And he looked at me and says, "Dave, don't be worrying about the pitch. it's the wallpaper that which is important. And I wouldn't say we're inundated, but we get an awful lot of invitations to or wishing to play in Kerry. Mm-hmm. And it's a question of not being able to fit them in because we've, as I say, four senior teams. That's it's about 40-50 games a season, so it's very difficult, but we try and fit them in. We have the MCC, who are a big are the big teams that come to play with us every year, and that's a massive game, usually including a number of Irish internationals. And the ground is just absolutely fantastic, and it's a pleasure from our even from our own point of view.
How hard is it to keep it that way? I mean, it looks like a carpet. I presume don't just sprinkle a bit of water on it. A lot more work goes in.
It's hard going, but we have Ger O'Donnell, landscaper up the road, who looks after it for us, and every year it's improving all the time. But every club's the same, Donald. You know, you've got to do the maintenance, keep it going. Everyone chips in, and it really looks magnificent now. After that rain now, it'll be greener than green. One thing, Donald, before I go, is just to want to tell and endorse what Gemma says, that everybody is welcome to come to County Kerry Cricket Club, young and old. It doesn't matter, male or female, they're more than welcome.
My God, he's looking for memberships. He's a proper chairman, isn't he? Brian, proper coach, you're looking ahead, obviously, to your next outing. What's happening? What's the plans?
Yeah, we've another big game this time. We're getting on a bus. We're going away. We're going up to Dublin ourselves. So we're going to play in Railway. They're another Dublin club steeped in tradition. We're training that September the 11th is the big day. Hopefully we'll do pretty well.
Gemma, are you excited? September 11th, a bus trip away.
All on board. I am. I'm very much looking forward to it. And as I understand, Railway Union is, as Brian said, it's another one of the kind of Dublin cricket clubs. Mm-hmm. But coincidentally, as I understand, their grounds are right opposite Pembroke. So we have had a promise from Pembroke that they will come out and support us that day. So we very much look forward to that.
I'm sure now they've done all the homework, Brian and Dave, and they've told the neighbours down the road what to expect, probably. Poor old Pembroke. How exciting is this to be a member of the Ulster Catchers? I suppose, look, it's the first ever. You're going to be on that picture on the wall inside the clubhouse. I presume that picture's up there already, or if it isn't, it's being framed. This wasn't being put in a phone or corner for it, or maybe you have to get planning permission for it, or maybe it's an ID that it just came up there. You never know. But you're going to be in it, and you're going to look back, and no matter where you are, you can say to your friends and your family the whole lot, I was one of those pioneers.
Oh yeah, it's very exciting. It was lovely we got our gear, our t-shirts and our hats before the Pembroke game, and that was a lovely kind of moment to get all that and to have that to wear for our first game and to kind of look like a proper team and be a proper team. So
I mean, you're beyond proper team status now. You've had the game, you've had a few runouts, and I'm sure you've scored as well. Who scored well in that game for you by interest? What was top score?
Gemma here. And
what did Gemma get?
Gemma Kiva.
She hardly got to 50, did she?
No, close enough, though.
Close, yeah. Not bad.
We had Caoimhe Finnegan, who scored a good few runs. I can't remember off the top of my head, Brian. Can you remember?
I think Caoimhe had 23, and I think you just beat her with 25, I think.
There you go. The captain didn't know, Maria, but the coach knew 23, and he knew the numbers. Huh? Good coach over here. Dave, it's funny, we bring loads of people in at different times of the year and the whole lot. There's a great excitement about this. There's a great buzz. I mean, people will go home and say, oh, it's cricket, like, you know, the whole lot. But you have to win one battle at a time. I mean, and you have a ladies' team now. Is it ladies or women, actually? That's a very kind of political question.
Well, we are ladies.
Yes. But do you go by women's cricket or ladies' cricket?
First, I call them the girls.
The girls who fight. Right, okay. It's gas because it's ladies' football that play the Gaelic football, and tis women's football that play the soccer. So that's where that question is coming from, in case there's But you're not too worried about it anyway. Dave, how exciting is this for you?
This is a fantastic new part to the County Kerry Cricket Club. I mean, they, as I said earlier, they have brought great enthusiasm. They have brought great colour. And they have brought great a great competitive spirit to the club, and it's really lifted us up. You know, I mean, it's something I did not foresee. That's for sure.
Fair play. Well, look, one of the promises I'll make is that I'm certainly going watching in your next home game. I'm not getting on the bus to go on September the 11th. I mean, God, it's a bit too far away, maybe, at a thing, but your next home game will certainly be there and shouting free, and I'll be one of those fellas holding up the six at the back. Hopefully get a six. Which one of you is most likely to get a six?
Probably Becky.
Gemma.
Is it? Okay, you get two sixes maybe. Oh, bad. Dave will make me tea, and I can sure I can sit down there with Brian. We'll talk about what's going on. Dave, thanks very much for joining us. Brian, Becky, Gemma, they, of course, are the Oyster Catchers. That name is going to be stuck in my head for all sorts of reasons. But there you are. They are Kerry's first women's ladies cricket team. And hopefully they won't be the last, but they're always going to be the first. And you're going to be up there in that picture there, Becky, once Dave finds a nail to put in the back of a wall somewhere. And I'm sure that it's on its way. We'll take a break.
From the sidelines to the stand. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, North Kerry have one foot in the Keane Super Value Minor Football County Championship Final. They lead Kinemere Shamrocks 2-9 to 5 points, and that's midway through the second half there, and we'll keep you up to date with that as we get closer to 8 o'clock. Now, next week, of course, is the Rose of Tralee, and it's back after a break due to its COVID, I suppose, closed everything down, and Tralee expects to welcome tens of thousands of people back. Now, another event that's making its way back as well is the Tralee Town Board Rose Cup Football Blitz, and I caught up with John Slattery of Tralee Town Board earlier to find out a little bit more. John, here we are at the Bonsecours Hospital launching the Rose Cup. It feels like an awful long time since we played the Rose Cup, but it's great to be back.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's 2 years now since we played, when COVID came into place. It's just brilliant to have the kids back playing again football, and a few weeks back I got contacted with the Rose Festival and see if they'd come on board to play the competition again. And they said, no problem, walk away. The Tralee Town Board takes care of it. We need a new sponsor this year, and through our chairman, John Ryan, he made contact with the Bonds, and they talked together and they came to a plan, and basically they've come on board as our new sponsors this year.
And of course, everybody's mad for football now, obviously, after opening the All-Ireland. Yeah. It's great to see all the club jerseys. We have Stats, we have Mitchell's, we have McGill, Rahilly's, yeah. Belly McNeil, everybody from the town board as well. Is there many more clubs involved?
There's 16 altogether. They're ranging from North Kerry clubs, Stoles St. Sinan's, Downfars Long Rangers, and Killarney Legion. And from outside the county, we have four Casey's from Abbeyfield, Douglas from County Cork, and Bideff Upper from Waterford. The club from Waterford and Cork, they're connected to their own roses, so basically that's how they're coming down to the competition. We've always tried to invite outside clubs from outside the county, and we're lucky this year to have three teams. There's a mixture of Division 1 team down to Division 7, so the competitions will be intense that day. It'll be great football.
And of course, it's important for the Tralee Town Board too. I mean, it gives you a chance to showcase what you do as well, I suppose, for much of the year. People kind of, I suppose, are turned off with district boards, but I mean, this is a huge event, and coinciding with one of the biggest national events of the whole year, I mean, it gives you a chance really to showcase yourselves.
Yeah, I'd say this tournament has been on for nearly 20 years now, and it gives a chance to basically show what we can do outside the normal leagues. It takes a bit of organisation, but the amount of players that come on board and play is exceptional, and I believe a lot of players the last 10 years have gone on to represent Kerry. And I even heard this summer two players from a Cork club who won this competition in 2018 represented Cork in the Munster final against Kerry. They're from Agubaluk. They're starting players for this year's Cork team. They played this tournament, they won it. So it shows that there is players coming through over the years that went on to play county football.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that's what it's about in the day, playing football.
Yeah.
These competitions, of course, you know, they're rare enough, I suppose, in the sense that they bring kids on. But there's also that friendship aspect to it as well. I mean, it's an event, it's a day. Kids, I suppose, they know each other from clubs, but I mean, it's a day of fun as well.
Well, with the Tralee clubs, yes, there's a great rivalry there. Like, you'll have Kearns O'Reilly as a host club in the Gael. Austin Starks won the cup the last time it was played, 2019, so they're hoping to win it again. And then of course the outside teams from around the county want to win this tournament. It's a prestige. There isn't many tournaments played in Kerry, like the Lee Strand, there's a Dawson Stacks, there's a couple in East Kerry, but for us here in Tralee, this is our football tournament.
Mm-hmm. And when can we see, when does it start, what are the dates?
It's on Saturday, August 20th. It'll be starting at 10:30 two venues, Ballyrickard in Healy Park in Tralee and Nigail GA Grounds, and the final will be held in Killeen GA Grounds too that evening.
And you'll be well glad when the finals are still gone after
it's an intense 3 months organisation, computer work, telephone calls, texts, everything, but I enjoy it because I've been doing it for many years.
John, look, the very best luck to you and the Tralee Town Board on what will be surely a special day with the Rose of Tralee and the Rose Cup.
Thank you very much, Tom.
There you go, John Slattery. He's going to be a busy man over the Rose of Tralee, of course, with the Rose Cup. Now, dear Terrace Talk, I'm calling from County Louth. I was at the Castle Gregory yesterday with my two sons, aged 9 and 13. We stayed the week on holidays. We went to see Fossett play Castle Gregory, and it was a fantastic game of junior football. No wonder Kerry teams win all Ireland at this grade. After a game, we met David Clifford, who spent 20 minutes with kids taking pictures and signing autographs. I think he's a very special ambassador for the game. Reason enough to come back to Kerry on holidays. Well, look, there's plenty of reasons to come to Kerry on holidays, and certainly David Clifford is one more. There was a great picture, of course, running around the place with David coming off the field, being chased nearly by 40 or 50 kids, but he's absolutely super, and he really is a superstar. Now, Evening Donal yesterday was a special day for Ballyhigh Community Games and Ballyhigh GA as we paid tribute to our under-14 All-Ireland long puck winner, Jason Gaynor, who was just 11 years old, and he took gold ahead of competitors from Waterford, Galway and Limerick. Brilliant to see a young Kerry hurler being crowned National Community Games champion. Congratulations also to Stephen Harty, who finished fifth in his long jump category, recording a personal best, and many thanks for all those who turned out to celebrate. And that comes in from Restardock Ferran, of course, a friend of the show's here, Ballyhigh GA PRO as well, another hat that he wears, and absolutely congratulations. Now, yesterday, the Kerry County Coast rowing finals were hosted by Flesk Valley with 28 different titles up for grabs. Over a dozen teams from across the county took part, from South Kerry, Mid Kerry and Killarney and the whole lot, and they participated there just off the lake shore there near the Lake Hotel in Killarney, and it was Flesk Valley that was formed in 1920. It's 102 years old, imagine that. And I caught up with their chairman John Fleming yesterday to talk about it a little bit more.
Joining us is John Fleming, of course, chairman of Flesk Valley. John, it's a very proud day for the club.
It is. It's a great day for us. Look, we were 100 years 2 years ago, and unfortunately with COVID, we didn't get a great chance to celebrate it. But this was part of our plans to have a regatta, and today is working out fantastic. Brilliant weather, great crowds here, and hopefully another big great racing.
Yeah, and it's a day, of course, that, you know, that showcases the club as well. I mean, you have the clubhouse down, people are beating down this path that's probably well known to your own rowers more often than not, and a lot of people very happy with it.
There, yeah, delighted with it. Like, it's a great chance to show off our facilities, great chance to show off the place where we row every evening training, and just a chance for other people to see it and see the facilities we have.
Yeah, and of course it is a county final. I mean, you have the best all around the sea, so even Carsevine all made the journey up and all over. How's the season going generally?
I suppose, just looking at it, we were unfortunate the last couple of years of COVID. We came back this year. Unfortunately for the coastal rowing, Sneem had to be called off due to bad weather, just weather conditions, and we couldn't reschedule it. We had a regatta in Cremorne, but unfortunately the fog kicked in that evening as well, and that had to be half abandoned. And next weekend is actually the All-Irelands in Wexford, so it's the last chance for clubs and crews to get tuned up and get up and running and ready and racing for that. So hopefully now today will be great racing for them anyway.
And of course it's a great day for the club too, the volunteers. I see the buns are being baked and people all over the place. You know, it's a great, I suppose, way of showcasing your own club, which has, as I said earlier, very proud history. To people that don't know where Flesk Valley is within Killarney, where would we find you?
We're just out the Muckross Road, just beyond the Lake Hotel. There's a small entrance just down to the woods, and it's hidden away and just down, and there's a little pathway down onto the lake shore, and our boathouses are there, and it just opens up, and it's a fantastic vista there. So fantastic
and
scenery.
So boys with members and rowing crews, how many have you? Very busy?
Very strong underage and stuff like that. I'd say we've about over 50 members underage. We've about 20-30 members overage, and it's growing year on year. Mm-hmm. It's a sport now, it's fierce interest in it all around. And I know that just even from the knock-on from the Olympics and stuff like that, and the lads doing great work on the international stage, but it is a sport that is growing and people are taking interest and want to partake in it.
And finally, what's the attraction? I mean, a lot of people play football. I mean, rowing is, you don't turn up one night and go rowing. I mean, there's a lot of training, I presume, but the closeness of maybe of a small group of four or five in the crew, that lends itself to being a very strong...
It is. It's the fact, it's not something casually done in ways. It's case if you get in, you get into a very tight-knit crew. There's a great bond between them. I've been rowing for years myself, and hard to explain in ways, but that if you get in with a crew, there's a great sense of camaraderie with them, and like you'll win or you lose together, like you row, and next day, if you don't do well today, you just sit down and talk about it and try to do better the next day. But it is a great sport that way in terms, yeah.
Okay, John, look, the very best. Look, we'll let you get back to your work. Fair play. Thanks.
Thanks, Don. Cheers.
He certainly was a hard-working man looking after everything yesterday as they hosted the Kerry Coastal All-Ireland, Kerry Coastal County Championships. A couple of County Championship games going on at the moment. Mid-Kerry 2-3, South Kerry 7 points is the latest there, 43 minutes gone in that County Minor game that started at 6:45, and North Kerry are almost home and dry. They lead Kinmare Shamrocks 2-11 to 5 points. That game started at 6:30, so there's only a couple of minutes left in that. We take a break.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now we're flying towards the end of the show here, 10 minutes to go, of course. Kerry Motor Club's Winter Rally, it's included this year as Untrustmore, the homecoming Kerry Festival. It's an exciting project, and somebody who's on to tell me all about it is Sean Moriarty, friend of the show and a man who certainly knows his motorsport. Sean, speak to us about how exciting, first of all, that motorsport is part of this new project.
No, this is a fantastic new project. It's a joint initiative between Port Falta and Kerry County Council. And their thinking behind this whole project is to bring as many Irish immigrants home for the whole month of October. So you're talking people living in Britain, Australia, America, whatever the case may be. And they're running this festival throughout the whole month, and it's incorporating everything from culture, arts, every sort of thing, and sport is included in it. And us as Kerry Motor Club, we're delighted to have our event included in this this event. Now, it's common enough knowledge that that motorsport in County Kerry has a huge tradition of attracting overseas competitors, especially with our own connections with the London Irish Motor Club. But this has kind of puts an official stamp on the fact that we have overseas visitors. It recognises that we have overseas visitors, and if you want to come home for the culture, if you want to come home for the festival, by all means do. But we're inviting people, from Irish people, Kerry people from all over the world to come home for our event at the end of October, the October Bank Holiday weekend, based at the Bannock Beach Hotel, a well-known rally in the motorsport calendar.
It's a huge rally. Locals will say it. That's the Kerry Winter Rally.
They'll call it Bannock. They'll call it the Banner Rally. It's Banner. It's kind of colloquially known as the Banner Rally. Its official title is if you get long-winded, the Bannock Beach Resort Kerry Winter Rally is its official title, but it's colloquially known the country up and down as the Banner Rally. So we'll speak about the Banner Rally. It's normally run in mid-November. A little change in the Motorsport Ireland calendar this year gave us the opportunity to run it on the October Bank Holiday weekend, which is another plus for us as well, which we're hoping.
Like you're going to have more crowds at a bank holiday, aren't you?
Well, we'd be hoping like crowds or stronger entry. We're around the three different championships, the locally sponsored here, Top Hart West Coast Rally Championship. New for this year, we're around the Southern Four Rally Championship, and it was always around the Kingdom of Kerry Championship. So you've kind of got a mix of drivers from the West Coast. The Southern Four brings us along the Southern Seaboard, and the Kingdom of Kerry Championship, Moriarty's Central Kingdom of Kerry Rally Championship is the local championship. So you can bring in a mix of from Sligo to Waterford into the county. That'll be good for B&B hotel business. And then add in the fact that we've parted this on Trustmore, and hopefully we'll attract some of our London Irish friends. We've already had interest from a driver, a Galway man based in Birmingham in England, who's considering entering. You look back to the last Circuit of Kerry rally that ran in April 2019. We haven't been able to run that event since pandemics, etc., but we'll be back next year for that event. But we had Kenneth Quirk, a man from Camp in West Kerry. His father, Martin, is a very experienced member of Kerry Motor Club, and Kenneth came home from New York to do that rally. So we have the tradition of bringing the overseas visitors. This is just copper-fasting and putting the seal of approval that we're now an official overseas event, and we're putting the word out there to the Kerry diaspora, come home and enjoy a bit of motorsport while you're enjoying the incomplete festival across the whole month.
But his guest, the rally, I suppose, it's different for so many people, but I have a small at home, and one of his favourite parts of any rally is looking at the cars before they ever set off. I mean, that's obviously going to happen. It's an ideal opportunity, I suppose, for members of the public to see cars up close and personal. And it's kind of an event where you're very close to drivers, and they want to talk to you. And it's kind of like, I won't say you meet your heroes right at the steering wheel, but I mean, it's a very open event, very friendly event. And, you know, it says the journey home, and I suppose, and people that are coming home kind of feel that they know these fellas that are driving, and they know the cars. players and they probably know how good they should be, but all that is part of the magic.
Tis of course, and we're delighted to announce as well as part of this announcement this morning that we have a new venue for that pre-event safety checks. That will take place in Kelleher's Garage on the Saturday before the event. That's the Saturday of the bank holiday weekend. Kelleher's Garage are huge supporters of motorsport in County Kerry. They're main Toyota dealers. Toyota are one of the top motorsport manufacturers in the world. Tim at the garage there, Tim Kelleher, he's a big fan of what we do, and he's kindly opened up his premises to allow us to use that as the pre-event safety checks. And as you say, it's a fantastic opportunity to meet and greet the drivers in a relaxed environment, in a safe and controlled environment. See the cars, get your pictures taken. These guys are open, they're easy to talk to. They'll, no problem sit into the passenger seat of the rally car and for the kids and the young lads and photographs and things like that. So, that's a very special announcement by us too, to the fact that we're bringing the what's traditionally known as the Banner Rally into the heart of Tralee as well. And that's going to help, business is going to help, promote the rally. It's going to attract maybe a new audience. It's going to give a new angle to an existing audience. I think it's going to be a fantastic weekend for motorsport in the county. And I think it's going to be a fantastic month of October for culture of all descriptions across all disciplines that are involved in this.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned COVID, and COVID kind of pulled the handbrake, pardon the pun, on an awful lot of motorsport. How important is it to be getting back now to kind of full activity and the whole lot?
Yeah, we ran the Banner Rally last November. We were under a lot of restrictions, a lot of difficulties. We were a bit nervous about running it too. Like a rally, by its very definition, is a gathering of people. So it was very, very difficult situation to run the rally last year. We're up and running now again this year. I suppose there's been a full calendar of events throughout the whole country this year. The Rally of the Lakes ran in May. The Circuit of Kerry didn't run in April. That was just a kind of a reason to be more sporadic, to spread out the calendar workload a little bit more. We're in good shape now, and I think the club is really looking forward to running the Banner in October. Planning has started. There is a route survey was done in the last couple of weeks. The first part of that is to visit the residents in the locality, and the majority of a favourable response. The full route details would be announced in due course, but as it stands, we're in the early process of visiting the people, because their roads are going to be closed today. Once that's boxed off, you have to go to the council and talk to them. And I must say, when you're talking about Kerry County Council, huge support from a lot of things that we do. Their road closing department are very helpful to get these things over the line. And when you talk here about on Trustmoor, John Griffin in the tourist office has been very, very helpful in that respect as well. So great thanks to Kerry County Council, the people that work in there. Without them, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So it's kind of a team effort. Yes, Kerry Motor Club are running it, but it's a county-wide effort to make these things happen.
Yeah, so the Kerry jersey thrown on across a whole wide range of people to make the rally happen. And of course, we're bringing you into on Trustmoor, the Kerry Homecoming. You're probably helping another event down the road. Someone is going to come watch your event and they might see something that'll, like I said, art, culture, that there's an awful lot happening. Finally and briefly, how important is it for fellas to kind of, and girls and the whole lot, to come home? You mentioned the word home. It's a homecoming. Kerry is home. It's great to have people home, isn't it?
This is like our event is only one of 30 or 40 events that are taking place across the whole county. I think one example that I could use is the Killarney reunion is taking place in Killarney. Now that event traditionally for the last 50 years took place in Wembley, and that was for Killarney people living in London. Now for the first time ever, that's coming home to Killarney. So you're bringing a different aspect, a different angle into that. I suppose it's a bit like the Rose of Tralee that's coming up next week. That's bringing people home from all over the world. This is just putting a different angle on what the time of the year. October is not traditionally a time that people come home. There's members of my own family home from different parts of the world at this time of the year. But it would be nice to have more people home in October at a time when there's very little happening in County Kerry. And I say that when we're advertising the fact that there is loads happening, that you may think there's nothing happening, but there's something on practically every day throughout the whole month of October that should encourage people to come home. And don't forget, Farm 4 Airport's only out the road. It's a gift to where we live, direct flights to London and everywhere you want to go. So, yeah,
well,
come
Sean,
on home.
Sean,
let's go, Ryan.
We're going to have to send you home now, because we're nearly at time. Sean, listen, thanks very much for joining us at short notice tonight at Sean Moriarty, of course, of Kerry Motor Club, and of course that the Winter Rally or the Bennett Rally that people know it as. It's hugely exciting, as I said, moving into town to Kelleher's. You're going to see all the cars there up close and personal, and later on you're going to figure out the routes and all that in the stages. We'll worry about that another night. Sean, thanks very much. Also, thanks to all my friends from the cricket world who came in this evening, and of course Sabutio, we discussed that earlier as well. We have one result to hand: North Kerry 213, Kilmare Shamrocks 6 points. That's a full time, so North Kerry are going to be in a final this time next week. We have no update sadly for you for the other game, South Kerry and Mid Kerry, but last time we were talking, Mid Kerry were pulling away a small bit. Fingers crossed they might have done it, or else if you're South Kerry man, you have the fingers crossed the other way. We'll find out next week for sure. Thanks for joining us. Thanks Keane on sound, Ivan of course back in studio, and stay up because we have Mary Conroy next with Talks Us.